So we're here during the month of October doing our A-plus program, Abundance Plus. Your practitioners, if you have signed up, are treating for you. You should be doing the treatment for prosperity twice a day on there. And prosperity is showing up in people's lives. I've heard people that did not $200 show up in their life, but somebody paid $200 for them that they didn't have to spend $200. So abundance was showing up in their life that way. Somebody's going off to Mexico for a while for a vacation, so abundance is showing up that way for them. So abundance is showing up, and your practitioners, if you signed up, should have contacted you. If they didn't, they're treating for you, and know that they're treating for you. So that's what we're doing through the month of October. So my talk today is the joy of prosperity. That was my talk 2 weeks ago that I had ready for you, but Paul stepped in and did money, because he knew we were talking about prosperity as well. He wanted you to know and take that in about prosperity. Now, did you know that you're a miracle and that you're amazing? I think we just heard a song like that. But more importantly, you are prosperous right now. By your birthright, you are prosperous. Now, you may say, David, you know what? I don't feel so prosperous. I feel like I was born into a bad economy. I was born into a household that just didn't have any money. My parents were poor, the house, the neighborhood. But what I want to share with you is last week we had a Circle of Love gathering up in Simpsonwood, which is just up Peachtree Industrial. Great speakers were there. They were absolutely phenomenal. And Ken Gordon, he was here. He's our spiritual leader for Centers for Spiritual Living. He was speaking on Wednesday. And he says, what we've done is we've built a crust over all these things. We are a miracle. We are amazing. We are pure love. But as we've grown up, we started putting crust and a crust layer over all of those things that we are, and then we forget what's underneath that crust layer. All that we see, more importantly now, is the crust that we put on there. And so what Ken Gordon said is we've got to break through, we've got to dig through, we've got to dig through. And the minute you dig through all those crust layers that we ourselves put, the universe didn't put there, but we ourselves put there, the minute you do there, do you see your prosperity? Do you see the love that's been there all the time? But it's up to us to clear away that crust and move into that. So if you were born and you say, I was born into just a really bad economy, my family was poor and all those may have been the conditions that you were born into, but that's not the truth of you. The truth of you are as you are as rich right now beyond measure, right this very minute. Ernest Holmes, the founder of Religious Science, says on page 635 of the Science of Mind text, somewhere there is already provided a lavish abundance for every want, a supply equal to every claim that can be made upon it. Let me repeat that. Somewhere there is already provided a lavish abundance for every want, a supply equal to every claim that can be made upon it. So I like that. A lavish abundance for every want, a supply equal to every claim. That's wonderful. But to every claim that can be made upon it, that's the bummer part. We don't make the claim upon it. We sit there and we look at the conditions and we think the conditions are our truth. We don't make the claim upon what's under the crust there because we can't sense that. All we see is the crust. Our usual claim is, I can't afford it. Our usual claim is, did you notice that the stock market crashed last week? Mostly we get into a groove of mulling over our old woes. We mull over our old regrets. We have unfinished business and we worry about all that. Crust layer upon crust layer upon crust layer. And if that's the claim made on the lavish abundance available to us, guess what we get? More woes, more unfinished business. And that cycle continues and continues and continues. But the lavish abundance sits there in smiling repose. It's there. It's awaiting our recognition of that. Our personal success begins with our innate desire to express life fully. There is something within us that is wanting to express life fully. So that's why we're doing a class right now on Thursday nights called Living Well. We're recognizing what's underneath all that crust layer and making demands on that. We're making our claims. That's what we're doing. Within each one of us is this restless urge, and it's called life. Life longing to express itself through every single one of us. Within each of us is that, this inner urge of newness and expression. And when we don't understand this urge and give it a positive outflow, we don't do anything with it and we go back to our conditions because we're very confident with the conditions. And I don't have the money to afford it. I can't afford it. We fall back into that. So this outflow of us, this law is going to work no matter what, and whether we're giving it a negative direction, like I can't afford it, or a positive direction, that it's a lavish abundance universe, it's going to grow no matter what. But when we have this urge, this life urge that's coming on with us, in truth, our unsettled feeling is the moving force behind all success. It is God's spirit in us, as us, is that unsettled feeling. It's pushing us through her. I like to call this divine discontent. How many of you have sat in line and feel divine discontent? You're in one experience somewhere, but something else is pushing you to say, grab for something greater, grab for something greater. That's within every single one of us. We all have that divine discontent. That divine discontent is, I feel like I'm stuck. I'm stuck in poverty. I'm stuck in lack. I'm stuck in this body. I'm stuck in this job. I'm stuck in this relationship. I'm stuck. That is divine discontent, that inner urge of life that knows that you are not stuck, that the minute you let go of all that crust layer, all of that is there, ready to come through. Spirit does not give us the inspiration causing this discontent, this inspiration to do something, and then leave us without a means in order to accomplish it. When you have that divine discontent and you finally have an inspiration aha moment that comes in, the minute that that idea or moment comes in of a better life, at the very same instance is the ways and means to fulfill that inspiration is given you at the same time. This is Judge Thomas Troward, if you've studied this teaching. Thomas Troward sits there and says that any inspiration that you have at the same time, this all the ways and means to achieve that inspiration is given to you as well. We just don't like the lag time. We don't like the lag time. It's all given at the same time. I also call this David Barrett's dangled carrot theory. God does not dangle a carrot in front of us and go, nah, 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 you can't have this. The minute God dangles a carrot in front of you, everything the means possible to obtain that carrot is given to you at exactly the same instant, not at a later time. The time is on us that we make that unfold, but exactly at the same time that unfolds. But the thing is we're the ones that have to make the choice. We're the ones that have to take action. We're the ones who must turn our complaints into outcomes. Everything we need has been provided for us in this realm of imagination, invention, inspiration. We have all of that. All we need to do is open ourselves to the greater possibility and follow this divine urge within us. So let me tell you a story about two ladies that went to a concert. Let's call it a concert by a pianist. Let's just happen to call the pianist Peter. And so they were leaving the concerts, the two women, and one of them said, "That was the most perfect concert I've ever heard. I have never heard such a thing. It was so wonderful. What do you think about it?" And the other woman says, "It was terrible. I didn't like it." And the first woman says, "You got to be kidding. It was perfect. Every single note, everything was perfect about it." And the second woman says, "But you know, during the first and second set, did you see him blow his nose in just such a bad way? And all that gook was just hanging on his face, and we just did that? It was the worst concert ever." So that's what we do. We can sit here and have the most perfect of things showing up in our lives, but we would rather look at the gook. That's what we want to look at. There's something in the Bible that used to really bug me, but I'm the one that got a greater understanding of this. We're having our board meeting this week, and we're talking about classes we're offering in January and things, and I keep going to Paul, I want to do a metaphysical interpretation of the Bible class. I want to do, you know, greater understanding of the Bible class. And Paul's like, "David, you always have six people show up for your Bible class." I was like, Okay, let me not do the Bible, but I'm really excited about it. But there's a quote in our Bible, and I'm getting a greater understanding about it. And Janet Yellen, just this last week, said the same thing. The chairperson said, the rich are getting richer, the poor are getting poorer. In the last 10 years, if you saw how that has really grown in the last 10 years, it's amazing how the rich are getting rich and the poor are getting poor. The Bible says the same thing. To him that has shall be given, and to him that has not shall be taken away, even that which he has. And so when I first read this in the Bible, I thought this was a really unfair thing. One person has a lot and is going to get a whole lot more. One person doesn't have very much at all, and that's going to even be taken away from them. And I thought, this just isn't fair. But when you think about it, where do you really have? Where do you really have? And we just did this in class this week. For those fellow classmates are here, you're going to see me go through it again. But I want to know where you really have. So I have a $1 bill right here. And if a goat came up here on this stage and ate this $1 bill, that's what the goat has, is a $1 bill. But I also have a $50 bill. And a goat comes up here on the stage and eats the $50 bill. How much money was eaten by the goat? The goat had $2 bills. In your head, you had $51. So where's the $51? The $51 is not here. The $51 is here. It's in your head. That's where, when you understand, where do we have? It's all up here is where we have. So the value of the money, this is in consciousness that you have the value, not in the thing. So you have it in consciousness. And if you have the consciousness of plenty, going back to the Bible quote, if you have the consciousness of plenty here, that's what's going to bring you more. If you have a have-not consciousness up here, that's when you're going to lose. Because it's not in the money. It's here where that's happening. So let me ask you this. What is the measure of good that you give to all the good that you have right now? What's the amount of attention that you give all to that good right now? I loved you opening up with your song, Angela, as well. How much are you looking at the good you have right now? Do you have a tendency to take it for granted and look at everything else that is wrong, the gook that's in our life? How much thought do you give to the good that you already have? How much emphasis do you place in the things that you don't like in your life? Again, let me remind you, what you focus on, we get. Where mind goes, energy flows. Where mind goes, energy flows. Focus on gook in the face, we get more gook in the face. This is the creative power of mind, but just using it in the wrong direction. The creative power of mind is the creativity of the universe. It is moved by thought. It is moved by our thought. We're the ones that connect to that. And what we give our attention to becomes our experience, becomes a thing, becomes a relationship in our life. We give our attention to things we don't like, and they loom very large. You know what? We don't like Ebola, and it is looming very large for every single one of us. We give a lot of attention to it, and it looms large. I love the Atlanta Journal-Constitution this morning. 1,000 under Ebola watch. Fear. Let's put fear. Let us put fear. Whenever you have this fear, understand going on in your life, know you need to grab onto the other F word, which is faith. Whenever they say 1,000 people now being watched, they're trying to instill fear, because guess what? More papers will sell if you say that versus we have this under control. Fear sells. So we're going to put it on the TV. We're going to put it out there. The New York Times yesterday had a great article, and it was titled, "In Europe, Fear of Ebola Exceeds the Actual Risks." And there's a quote by the author Andrew Higgins in that article that says, "Ebola has stirred a wave of alarm that doctors and psychologists say reflects the insecurities of the modern mind far more than any significant danger to public health." It's our fears. We have so much fear. We have so much crust that we don't know that we can be calm. ensure and understand that. So this creative law of mind right now is being used in Ebola in the negative way. Ebola, Ebola, Ebola. But somewhere, guess what? There are folks that are saying health, health, health. In Sierra Leone, there are people walking around that are helping people out there and they're not getting Ebola. Why is that? So, if you're a person that thinks Ebola is lurking behind every tree and bush you walk around, that's what you're going to have. We live in very secure societies. We want to be sure about our day tomorrow. That's what we want to do. And so you have something thrown into us that places our rational and scientific world into the unknown. We don't like that because we're a society that wants to be very sure of tomorrow. So we're fearful, and we start producing more fearful things. But in mind, universal mind, which we're connected to, all things are known. Believe it or not, it already exists for a cure for that. It exists for cure for HIV. It exists a cure for cancer. It exists already, but we don't want to build through the crust because we got a crust of people are getting rich, people are doing this, people are doing that. We don't want to do that. But underneath that is the health of the universe. It's a healthy universe, and I'm an aspect of it, and it's up to us to sit there and understand that. So it's a wonder that good things aren't happening in our lives because we're running around fearful. There was a farmer who grew up in a childhood in a farm. His parents passed away. They left the farm to him. So he went there, and he took it on. But as the years went on, he really didn't like the place anymore. He finally decided to sell it and buy something that he would really enjoy just a little bit more. So he called a real estate person, and the real estate person came and wrote up a beautiful description of the farm and to put it in the paper and list it. The agent came back to the farmer to read the description and said, okay, I just want you to give me any changes, or if I'm not saying anything right, please go ahead and correct me. He said, it's beautiful broad acres, the nice fences, the well-kept buildings, the good stock, the up-to-date equipment, and the little stream that flowed through the middle of the farm. That's what you get. The old farmer sat there nodding his head and said, read that through one more time. Go a little bit slower. The agent read the description again. Then the farmer said, I ain't gonna sell. I've been looking for a place like that my whole life. So, we have that now. Underneath all of that, we have all of those things right now. We just don't see them. Dr. Russell Conwell wrote a book called Acres of Diamonds. If you haven't read this little book, pick it up. It's on divorce. If you want to borrow it for a week, come and grab it from me. Take it home, read it this week, and bring it back. You can read it in 10 minutes. But it's called Acres of Diamonds. I've used it in a talk up here before. And it's built around the idea that the riches of life are all around us. We are sitting on acres of diamonds right now. But our eyes somehow fail to see those riches and accept them. We see the crust. We see the crust. That is because we magnify the difficulties. We are a society that magnifies the difficulties. TV magnifies the difficulties. The AGC does magnify the difficulties. One of my pet peeves is, yes, I am a Weather Channel fanatic. I watch the Weather Channel all the time. I want to cut the cord, but I can't because I'm watching the Weather Channel all the time. But I hate their enhanced radar. You know their enhanced radar, what does it do for you but to instill fear in you? You know, you get the little light green, the yellow, but the big red, you know it's coming. It's coming. But then they go to the actual radar, nothing. It's not there. And I was like, they're doing the fear thing again. They're doing the fear thing again. And yesterday I was watching the hurricane that's over there off of Hawaii, and the enhanced radar, oh my gosh, I was just in Kona. It's getting hit so bad. And then they go to the actual radar and it's all south of the islands. It's not even hitting the islands. But we want the fear thing. We want to put that out there. Fear sells. People will tune into the Weather Channel if we have the fear thing going. If we sit there and say it's a sunny day in Hawaii, who wants to hear that? So we have this. TV loves to magnify our fears, the media, paper, whatever. Another thing I watched yesterday was on hydrofoil races. Now, I grew up in Miami and Biscayne Bay. Anybody know Biscayne Bay in Miami? Kirby's going to raise his hand. Kirby knows Biscayne Bay in Miami. Beautiful bay, but there's one little place by the Rusty Rudder that's inside, and they would do hydrofoil races there. If you haven't seen a hydrofoil, it's one of those boats that goes 165 miles per hour. It just skims on the top of the water really fast. It's immediate. So they had some races going up on a lake in Maryland yesterday, and so I'm at the gym working out and looking at the hydrofoil race. I go, gosh, I love doing that in Biscayne when I was down there and seeing all that. But sure enough, I watch about six races. Well, in the seventh race, one's going really fast, and one goes out of control and crashes, and the other boat wins. They went back and showed that race 20 times, but showed the boat that crashed.
They never went back to show the boat that had success. Because media sells. We want to see the crash. We don't want to see the success. And so they played it over, and I was sitting there going, it's my talk. It's my talk. They're sitting there doing it. They never went back. So TV magnifies the difficulties. So what do? We magnify our difficulties. Why is the rage? Everybody's doing it. We overlook the advantages and fail to recognize the good in what we have right now. It lies all around us. We're living in acres of diamonds right now, but we can't seem to take it in. We effectively cut it off. We don't allow it in. It seems to be that people focus on the 5% of things that are going on. That irritation, that thing we don't like. The 95% of good is almost unnoticed because we're misusing this quality binding of ourselves. We have forgotten to put a bridle and saddle on that fault finding quality and put it in a good direction. So what happens? Love is gone. How often we have lost a close or dear friend over some comparatively minor irritation. A disagreement that got so hot that two friends actually separated. Never mind the years of friendship. Never mind what they've done for each other. Never mind what they had going for them. They say, I don't like that, so get out of my life. And something beautiful is over just like that. This happens over and over. I know family squabbles over an incident 20 years ago. 20 years ago, so therefore, I choose not to love right now. This happened 20 years ago. So yes, we all have faults. Yes, even David Barrett. But why should we let our attention be on that and let it become a monster that we like to magnify that rises up so big that we can't see past it? We lose our view of what is good. And then I have an awareness about myself. It's sometimes difficult for me to accept people where they are instead of where I thought they should be. Let me repeat that. It is sometimes difficult for me to accept people where they are instead of where I thought they should be. This is my metaphysical teaching coming in a little bit because it's like, I want to treat for you. I want you to see this. I want you to see what's underneath all that crust. I know. And you should be staying in a much better place. You should be staying in a much better place. But I don't just accept them where they're standing at that very moment. I think they should be standing in a different place. Then I recognize that sometimes people aren't accepting me where I think I am. They're not accepting me because I'm not where they think I should be. Two-edged sword. So there's a bumper sticker out there that says, look for the good and praise it. Look for the good and praise it. How much of that do we do? Not very much. We're looking for what's wrong, and we feel bad about that, and we get angry, and we get upset. And we think, and we talk about what makes us angry and upset, and we tell our friends. And then we tell our friends to be sure to tell your friends and like it on Facebook so it goes everywhere. Send it out there that I don't like this. So we're destroying ourselves and everything around us because we're doing this. Our lives can never go forward and upwards. Our lives, we can't fly because we're holding on to all these things. What would life be like if we did our level best out of the very core of our being and decide that our emphasis is going to be on the good in our lives, even if it's not very much? That's the two fish, five loaves. Look for the good and praise it, because whatever you praise magnifies and grows. And what you criticize will shrivel you. Take it away from you. Whether you're talking about money or a friendship or a love or health or whatever, notice what you have good in your life that you take for granted. We may have filed things away in our minds that we don't like. I share with you all the time about opening up a folder in your brain that's closed and it's just put away in your brain, but it's running. It's running. It's running. And I'll use a couple of examples of that. You all, every single one of you has an Oreo file. An Oreo file. I just by me bringing that word up, you pulled that file open, you looked at it, double stuff. Halloween, they're going to be putting the orange filling in there. But before I brought that word up, that file was closed, and it was just sitting in your brain. Same thing with first picture day at school. I know a teenage girl, and it's picture day at school. She is so excited about first picture day at school. She's so excited. But her best friend is petrified about picture day at school. You know, is it going to come out right? What's it going to look like in a yearbook? What's going on with that? So believe it or not, you have a file of picture day at school. You haven't thought about it in 20, 30 years, but that file is there, and it's running. Well, I wonder how many thousands of files that you have that are just closed, sitting there, and they're running. And not all of them are good things. They're just closed and running. And then we wonder why this stuff is happening in our lives. Because at that level, believe it or not, it's still demonstrating. It's still demonstrating. So we need to move. We need to move into this understanding of ourselves and let all of that go. And some people say, well, how do you let those files go if you don't even know they're there and they're not even open? The same thing is, I love how you said it, just get in a spiritual regimen by coming here on Sundays, by going to class, by doing meditation, by doing yoga. What you're doing is dripping water into that mucky water, and it's one drop at a time is going to clear that water. By you getting that understanding of understanding that at the bottom of all that, your perfect health, wealth, love, career. At the bottom of all that, that already exists. Our birthright, the joy of prosperity, is ours right now. It is in God nature as us. Right now, there's more than enough. Focus on that. And I've shared with you before, beloved, all that I have is thine. All is given. All is given. You're a miracle, you're amazing. Right now. Right now. There is no withholding on the part of the universe. If you go without, it's not because the universe has a problem. It's because we have not opened ourselves to it. We have not attracted to us the consciousness of prosperity or the consciousness of love. So, did you know you're a part of a spiritual universe which knows no lack? Underneath that crust, there is no lack. Underneath that crust, there is love. There is ideas. There is expression. Everything you want to do. So we need to relate to that universal source and let it channel itself through us as us. Really relate to it. Feel, sense God in your life. Now, when I came into this teaching, it was all about the spiritual law and the universal law, and I need to understand that. And it took me reading several people. Eric Butterworth is one of them. Joel Goldsmith is another. David Leonard over at Huntsville Center for Spiritual Living is another that made me break through so many different layers that it's not all about universal mind, but what about universal love, David? Understand the love of the universe. And so I'm going to understand universal mind and universal love to the point where it brings tears to your eyes. When you understand God to the point that it brings tears to your eyes, that's a level that we can start being so creative. So if we open our new consciousness to attract our good from every single direction because we understand the spiritual law, the spiritual practice, God, universal mind, whatever it is you want to call it, through the law of attraction, you're going to bring every good you need. God created us to have dominion. dominion over life, dominion over our affairs. So how many feel like you have dominion over life? Don't show your hands. How many feel that life has dominion over you? The law is working perfectly with whatever thought pattern you have. The law is working perfectly. If you're not expressing dominion over your finances, it's because you're not taking command of your life. If you're not expressing dominion over love, you're getting leftovers. If you're not expressing dominion over your career, you're getting leftovers. If you're not expressing dominion over your body, you're getting leftovers. And what are the leftovers? Race consciousness with success in average life. Those are the leftovers. Does the world think you should have much? Does the whole world out there think we should have much? Not at all. They want us to be just like them. The whole world doesn't want that. The world thinks small, but spirit thinks big. Stop saying I can't afford it. Understand you're a bank. Did you know that God is the Federal Reserve and you're a branch office? That's how it works. But if you don't make the demands on the universe, guess what? The Federal Reserve doesn't give the small bank any money on there. You need to understand that. Draw upon it. It will honor without question when you relate to it because it only knows what you expect and can accept. Hard things. What you expect and what you can accept. How many are really good at accepting gifts? Not many. I'm really shy about it, and I feel blushed and everything. I can't accept. Gabriel is so good at saying, David, accept. David, accept. How many expect a lavish life? So we need to raise our expectations and our acceptance. Then the bank starts flowing money going through there. Know that you're deserving of your good. It's important that you have a deep, genuine feeling that you deserve to be prosperous. Underneath all that is my prosperity. So we need to move into that elevated consciousness. Get your whole beingness enveloped in this uplifted consciousness of who you are. Break the old limit that's been crystallized in your mind about what's going on in your life, your health, wealth, love, and career. Break that. Break the crust. Come down here. And understand that underneath all that, that once we scratch all that away, the abundance of the universe is there. Forgive yourself for the past. Forgive others for the past. Begin with a whole new slate about yourself. And begin with a whole new slate about others. The universe holds nothing against you. Somewhere, there is already provided a lavish abundance for everyone. A supply equal to any claim that can be made upon it. We make that claim today, and it is wonderful, and so are you. So we stand here this morning with this understanding, taking all of this into our mind. Our individual minds are connected to this universal mind. As in the universal, so in the individual. As in the universal, below all of that crust is the allness of the universe. You are a miracle. You are amazing. I have a new thought about myself. I have a new look about myself. I still have the same last name. But I'm recognizing something greater. I'm recognizing that there is not the universal and the individual. There's the universal as the individual. And there's a creative power in the universe that we can use, and it is directed by our thought. And we realize how important our thought is. If we point our thought in one direction, our mind goes, energy flows. So it is on this morning that we grab the greater understanding that there is a joy in prosperity, there's a joy in love, there's a joy in creativity, there's a joy in vitality. And that joy is ours this very single minute. What we let go of are the crusty things that we're looking at. We let go of the gook that's on every single one of our faces. We let all that go. That is only the condition. The truth about us is the richness that we are, the love that we are, the health and vitality that we are, the creativity in our careers that we are. That is the truth about us. We magnify those things. We let the other things fall away. We no longer magnify them. When the rest of the world points its finger in the direction of fear, it is up to us in that same second to point our finger in the direction of faith and know that there's an answer for whatever it is that's going on. Because in universal mind, the answer is already there. And that's all we need to announce. We don't need to know what the answer is. We just need to know that the answer is already there. Forget the universal, come all the way down to the individual, exactly the same thing. If you have that divine discontent within you and you're not sure what it needs to happen for something to happen there, there's something within you that does. And you allow that to come forth into your mind, which then comes forth into your life. That is how powerful each one of us is. We give great thanks for this understanding. We give great thanks for knowing this reciprocal action of the universe that we have with the individual. We give great thanks for all that we already have because we are sitting on acres of diamonds this morning. This is the truth for each one of us. I release this word to law, knowing it is so. And when you walk out of these doors, your minds are stretched to a whole new understanding than when you walk in here. This is the greatness of this teaching. We accept it and so it is.
So it is.